First of all, I want to remind you that Tuesday is the Solemnity of the Assumption of Our Blessed Lady. Masses will be Monday evening at 7 p.m., and then on this day itself, 7:30 in the morning, 12 noon, and 7 p.m. Even though I have a good joke for today, I'm not going to tell it, because I want to speak of something very serious. Now, when I tell jokes, I don't mean that to say that what I'm saying is not serious, but particularly today. As many of you may have heard, because I know how gossip goes, in the wee hours of the morning, our church, our home, where we worship and pray, where we should feel safe, was attacked by a fellow who broke through the window from the Adoration Chapel, cutting himself in the process, and then doing other damage around. He broke the window there by Father Trojas' confessional. It was bleeding all over the place. And so there was all sorts of stuff, and when you came in, you probably saw people from ServPro trying to get rid of all the blood, and they do a great job of that. So that's what happened. Now, he was arrested and will be charged with several felonies, as was the fellow who several weeks ago vandalized Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We don't know why the fellow did this, and ultimately, it's not really important why he did it, because what he did can have no reasonable justification. And we know that over the past months, churches have been vandalized since the court reversed the Roe v. Wade decision, as if we who are Catholics have been at the forefront of oppressing women. In fact, all we are doing is simply defending the lives of human beings, male and female, in the womb. How are we to react to what happened overnight? First of all, we can be angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Anger in itself is not a sin. It is a feeling. And we can feel the way we feel. Sometimes we can be angry and justly angry, and I think we are justly angry at what happened. But we often misunderstand that anger in and of itself is not a sin. Many people come to confession and confess having been angry. And I tell them that it's just a feeling. It's what we do in anger that can be sinful. But our response to what happened last in the wee hours in the morning, our response as Catholic Christians is and must be love. We are to love the sinner while we hate the sin. We may certainly seek legal redress and reimbursement, of course, but hatred is not an option for us. We are to love him because God loves him. Our response is to be forgiveness. And as I've often said, forgiveness is an act of the will. It means at very least we pray for the one who has hurt us, asking God to give that person what God knows he or she needs, and not by our telling God what he or she needs. And we are to forgive even if he never asks for forgiveness. This reminds us that there is great evil in our world. And we are to seek God's grace and strength to stand against the evil in our world, to stand against the devil and those who do his work. In the first reading, Elijah the prophet has defeated the prophets of Baal, and he flees because he fears the revenge of Jezebel. He is depressed and discouraged. And yet God shows himself to him. He reveals himself to the prophet in a tiny whispering sound. What the King James Version says is a still, small voice. It reminds him that he was and is and will be with Elijah as he comes to the end of his ministry. God speaks to us in the same way too. Sometimes he speaks to us in fire and wind and earthquake, but most of the time I think he speaks to us in the still small voice, if for instance in our prayer. And this whole thing reminds us that in the gospel, we are not to concentrate on the wind and waves, but to trust in Jesus who calms the storm. Remember, Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, was doing fine until he paid attention to the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. When his eyes were on Jesus, he was fine. When his eyes were off Jesus, he began to sink. And that reminds us that we are not to concentrate on the storm, but on the one who calls us. We must not fear, but rather we must live in hope in the one who loves us and who loves each of us unreasonably and immeasurably, because he forgives us and calls us to seek forgiveness. He calls each one of us to defend the truth. That means to defend Jesus, who is truth incarnate. We are to work diligently to act in love, even when we are oppressed. We must say no to ourselves and to evil. We must say no when people deny the truth. We must defend all human life at every stage of its development, whether the child is unborn, whether the person has grown and is old or infirm or aged. We are to affirm that life is sacred at every stage of its development. We are to live because Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit have given us life. And life can come from no one else but God. And so we must be bold in defending life here and now at this moment and throughout our lives, that God, who has given us life, may be honored and worshiped, and that we may respect that gift and defend it until the Lord calls us to be with him forever.